Let's go to Kansas now, where a jury is hearing the case against three men accused of plotting to bomb members of a Somali refugee community in Garden City, Kansas. Federal prosecutors say Patrick Stein, Curtis Allen, and Gavin Wright conspired to terrorize Somalis living in an apartment complex in Garden City. They were arrested in October 2016, but the defense now has taken an unusual turn. Claims from the defense that their clients were targeted because the FBI is biased against conservatives. This is one of President Trump's favorite accusations in the Russia investigation. The trial is now in its third week. Ryan Riley is senior justice reporter for HuffPost and for a time has been the only reporter in the trial courtroom this week. He joins me now from Wichita, Kansas. Ryan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Ryan, we learned a few weeks ago that at a relatively early stage, this plot to bomb apartment buildings where Somali refugees lived was basically stage managed by the FBI, by informants and undercover operatives at a pretty early stage. What did we learn from testimony this week?
Sure. So essentially, we learned from Dan Day, who was the FBI informant sort of working on this case, that he was sort of scared by a lot of the language that the other people in the group were sort of using. And he was approached by the FBI pretty early on about becoming sort of an informant for them and letting them know what was happening with this group of militia members. There were a number of militia members earlier on who sort of said they weren't about this more sort of extreme plot and these specific plans to target a Muslim community. They sort of, you know, got away from it and said that they wanted to take more of a defensive posture and would only, take action if they were proactively attacked in some way. But there was this core group here, the three that are now on trial, that did go along with the plan and sort of brought it down the way. There's one sort of ringleader, Patrick Stein, who seems to be the primary driver of this and the person who would eventually meet with an undercover FBI agent who was posing as someone who could provide the group with some weapons.
And what are prosecutors saying about how much of the motivation for this plan came from the three accused and how much of it came from undercover government operatives?
We know there are some rules that the FBI informant had to follow, as well as, of course, the undercover FBI agent about how much they could actually push forward. The ideas were really supposed to come from the group. This is something that's come up a lot, actually, in cases involving ISIS or cases, perhaps involving Al-Qaeda supporters. But typically, you don't really see this type of investigation aimed at, frankly, white defendants or, frankly, non-Muslim defendants. So there's a lot of issues that are going to be raised here and might have more sway with a jury than they would in the more typical terrorism case that we see, which is against perhaps someone who is of a Muslim faith.
Now, Ryan, you wrote something interesting in the last couple of days. You wrote that President Trump's attacks on the FBI, which are common on his Twitter feed and even sometimes into microphones, are playing a prominent role in this case. What did you mean?
So essentially, during jury selection, we heard a lot of views sort of echoed by potential members of the jury who were going through this jury selection process, where they would say that, they didn't have a lot of faith in the leadership of the FBI. Now, a lot of them sort of made the distinction that you've recently seen a lot of Fox News commentators and perhaps the president, that, there's a difference between the leadership of the FBI and the agents in the field. And, most of those who even expressed skepticism of the FBI said that they would be able to believe an FBI agent in the field, that's going to be brought up in this case. But it's something that prosecutors don't typically have to deal with, because there's a situation here where the president has basically undermined a lot of the credibility that the FBI has and has been saying that, the FBI is biased against conservatives and this was sort of a plot from the beginning against his presidency. And that sort of lines up with a defense that the defendants are making in this case, that, this was a situation where the FBI was unlawfully targeting them and sort of was determined to get them from the beginning because of their conservative beliefs.
Now, it's certainly not uncommon for defendants to put a police department or law enforcement in general on trial, but you say in some ways the shoe's kind of on the other foot here.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, healthy skepticism of the FBI is a good thing. I think that the issue here is that a lot of it's not so much based in. I think the issue really here is that we're seeing that these attacks are really having a trickle-down effect on FBI agents in the field, and a situation here where there's a significant portion of the population that now believes that the FBI has this liberal bias, which, you know, from talking to former FBI agents is sort of really not the situation. You know, the FBI is generally known as a more conservative-leaning organization. And, of course, FBI agents would say that, you know, their decisions are not based in politics, but based on, you know, the facts in the field. But the situation we have here now is that a lot of these potential jurors were of this belief that the FBI was basically out to get Trump and out to get perhaps his supporters.
Ryan, do you expect any of these three co-defendants to testify in their own defense? And how much longer is this trial expected to go?
Frankly, I think it's probably pretty unlikely that any of the defendants would testify, just because that would expose them, you know, of course, to a lot of questions from the prosecution. And they'd be forced to confront a lot of these, you know, anti-Muslim sort of violent statements that, you know, we know they made because they recorded and they admitted to. What their defense attorneys are going to argue is that this was all a lot of bluster. And specifically, one of the defense attorneys raised the issue or suggested that this was just a lot of locker room talk, sort of echoing a statement that the president made when he had to defend himself, of course, from the Access Hollywood tape. This trial is now in its third week. It's expected to last about six, but right now we're probably going to start seeing a shift to the defense attorney's case in the coming week.
And how is that defense, Ryan, playing that this was all bluster and locker room talk amongst these men to harm Somalis in the community, and that it's also a product of bias against conservatives at the FBI? What do the people in Garden City and the surrounding community have to say about that?
You know, what's really interesting in this case is, first of all, that we're 3.5 hours away from the location of the actual events that we're talking about. And secondly, you know, that the voice of really, frankly, you know, Muslims has been kind of eliminated from this trial. The judge has ruled that the government can't put any potential victims on the stand because of the fact that they only really know about this plot because the government told them about it. Similarly, the sole sort of African-American potential jury in the final jury panel was eliminated because her parents were refugees. So I think what we're going to see coming forward is that the defense is going to suggest that this was just all a lot of bluster and it didn't really amount to much. But that's going to be sort of tough for them to make that case, given how many, you know, sort of extreme anti-Muslim and violent statements we have from the defendants.
Ryan Riley reporting from Wichita, Kansas. Ryan, thanks so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Riley is senior justice reporter for HuffPost.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.